Magical Mara Designs is proud to sponsor this episode of the DubDub Review Podcast. Whether you are looking for cute, comfortable mini ears or Disney-inspired face masks, we've got you covered at MagicalMaraDesigns.com.
Hello, welcome to the DubDub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by some of my best friends today. I got Preston Van Swole, Scott Ferrioli, and Jeremy Murray. Gentlemen, how are you guys?
I'm doing pretty good myself.
Good.
It was my first day on a new job today.
I heard you began a new job today, and you're working with your mom. Thumbs up, because yeah. She can hear you, so it's all thumbs up, Preston, right?
Yep.
Exactly. Jeremy, Scott, how are you guys?
I'm doing well. Nothing really new going on over here. Just normal business stuff and enjoying life.
Good. Jeremy?
It's warmed up 20 degrees, which puts it at 12.
If you are watching this on YouTube, you'll notice that I'm in a fleece right now. Jeremy's probably got the heat up to about 90 in the house. Scott actually is rather chilly today, too, in Florida. Today was a ridiculous cold streak. And Preston, I know you and me share the same climate, and it sucks. It's just terrible. So let's just jump right into it. Usually it's what's good in our life, but today we're going to jump right into it because I've assembled my team here for an intense discussion on WandaVision. So we're going to give everybody who's listening a disclaimer right here. So we're going to go over a brief plot summary because we're going to assume if you've listened and you've seen the title, you've watched WandaVision. Or for your introduction to it, then go back and watch, please, because we're going to do that a disservice. But we're going to get into some spoilers. We're going to get into some conspiracies. We're going to get into some theory. We're going to get into a giant nerd discussion on WandaVision. Preston, young man, take a look at us. We are three middle-aged men talking about Marvel WandaVision. You can change your life and avoid this fate, young man. You still have the power to avoid this fate. I'm just telling you right now. Are we all committed? We all ready to go?
I think so.
Let's do it.
All right, Preston, I'm going to make you last in this situation. Scott, you're first. I want you to summarize WandaVision so far in three words. Think of three words to describe WandaVision up to this point. And we've only seen four episodes. The recording date is February 1st. So we're recording this on a Monday. So we're going to put this out before the next episode. But up to this point, WandaVision.
See, this is what we're talking about, Preston. He just throws this stuff out at you. He says three words, and you're right under the bus. Slow picking up.
Okay, Jeremy.
Delusion.
Do you need to phone a friend?
No, delusion getting better.
Ooh. Okay. Preston.
I'm going to have to go with sitcom, mystery, and surreal.
Those are all great. They're better than mine. I'm not even going to give any. I could say something like incredible acting talent, but you know what? These are all, it's difficult to describe, which in itself like describes WandaVision. Because like you guys, when we sat down for episode one, we went in it with a blank slate. We knew it was going to be something weird, and we were just going to go and sit down and be patient and let the story unfold. So in my house, my wife, myself, my 15-year-old daughter, and my 8-year-old daughter. My son chooses to binge watch everything, so he don't want to wait that week between episodes. So he's just going to watch it one day and be done with it. So trying to convince an 8-year-old this is a Marvel TV show as episode one airs, it took some time. I think she actually enjoyed like the hokey laughs and the laugh track behind number one and number two. I think she thought it was cute. So, of course, now I got to go dig up like Dick Van Dyke and all, you know, I Dream of Jeannie. And she might actually enjoy those. So let's just briefly describe episode one, or maybe we should start off with this, the major characters. So who wants to go off with, just give a brief, I mean, if people have to know who they are, but like Scott, who are the players in the episode?
Well, your main players obviously are Wanda and Vision.
Correct.
And the first episode is set in the 50s.
Okay.
So, it's, you know, picture the canned laughter in the studio audience, 50s style look, everything's black and white, and it plays to that. And I don't know how far you want to go into this, but, you know, the whole episode, you're sitting there, as somebody who loves Marvel, I know everybody here loves Marvel, and your daughter, watch it going, where are they going with this?
Correct. With canned lines, you know, the first line they open up is, you know, she comments about my husband's indestructible head, and he comments about her flying dishes, and that's where it starts off with. So it clearly doesn't have a feel of a Marvel movie in a Marvel TV show at this point, so it's a little bizarre.
It's that, like, 50s corny, where, you know, like, over-the-top corny, and you're going, what are they doing? You know, these are characters that I've watched for years now, but it's not their character, you know? They're different people, so you're going, this is not the people I've, I don't want to say grown up with, but, you know, you've been watching these characters and caring about them for many years right now, and then you're watching this, and you're going, what is going on?
Okay, so put a pin in that thought. Preston, can I give you like a minute to describe the episode just off the top of your head? And if you can't right now, that's okay, because I just watched it recently. So can you describe episode one? Give you a minute.
Well, I mean, obviously it starts off like the traditional, like Scott said, like a sort of Dick Van Dyke type episode, mm-hmm. like even a similar style housing. But
completely jealous of that house, by the way. I take it right now.
Yeah. But like, it has Wanda and Vision, and it kind of reminded me of Bewitched, how like they were different than the rest of the neighborhood, but were trying to kind of fit in.
Gotcha.
And like, they're playing it off as like just a regular old 50s sitcom that you'd see back in the day, but it still had like that Marvel twist to it. Like, strange things would happen that we couldn't really explain.
Exactly. They're in the kitchen, and they have a very similar scenario. Oh, there's something on the calendar. What does that heart mean? They can't figure out what that heart means. They go back and forth in this cute dialogue, and they eventually come to a conclusion, and they think they know what each other's saying, and they really don't. It's not until Vision's at work later on at the, what is it? It's the computation place that he works at.
Yeah.
That he realizes his boss's name is Mr. Hart. Oh, Mr. Hart. That must be the heart in the calendar. It's a special dinner. Yada, yada, yada. It's not an anniversary. Mr. Hart's coming over for dinner, and I have to impress Mr. and Mrs. Hart as an employee. So sets up the hijinks in a very 50 style format, right? So
right.
The first thing I want to ask you guys so far is, did you catch that in the first words? My husband with the indestructible head. Right there. It was like, boom. It was so casual right in front of you. And it's definitely a tie-in, of course, to his ultimate death. Not his first death, but his second death. My husband with the ultimate head, with his indestructible head. So, Jeremy, what are your observations so far from... Let's just get into that in episode one. What were your thoughts?
Well, I was... I'm always in a hurry to skip ahead. I'm always following, like, where's this going? What's the plot leading to? What's the trick?
Okay.
So I almost was treating all the hokey stuff going along as theater to in front of what was happening behind the scenes.
Okay.
So I was trying to pick up on Easter eggs, foreshadowing, plot twist. I was intrigued, probably like everybody was, with the commercials that came on, and then definitely the scene towards the end of the show where the boss started choking, and he started laughing, and then he started choking, and everybody was laughing, and he was choking, and the wife is like, "Stop it! Ha ha! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the tension was very much building in that scene, because you couldn't tell if maybe Wanda was trying to kill him, Like it first it looked to me like the intensity of with her staring at him. He was saying something that was taboo, and she was almost choking. She was force choking him, is what it looked like to me. And then finally, when the wife is like freaking out and it looks like it's about to go too far, then she has Vision save the day. And then instantly Vision saves the day, and that snaps it back. That snaps all the tension out of the scene. All the tension is instantly released, and it goes back into the 50s sitcom. But that 2 minutes, or that, I don't even know how long it was, that 45 seconds sucked me so deep into the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, that 45 seconds made the entire show. Like, that it pulled me forward to where I knew I wanted to watch episode two. Up until that point, I hadn't even figured out if I liked the show yet.
I think a lot of people that are listening today said the exact same thing. They said, you know what? I like to watch just for basic showmanship and just on a basic superficial level. I don't want to have to dig that deep. I don't want to have to go and search for Easter eggs. I just want you to tell me the story, and I'll appreciate the story. And if it catches me, so be it. And if you watched halfway through episode one, you were like, this is terrible. This is not what I expect at all. I just had faith that the people behind the scenes were telling me a story, and I had to be receptive to that story. So there are a bunch of people listening that may just say, hey, listen, I don't even want to go this deep with you guys. And there are a bunch of people that said, heck no, I got my notebook out, and I am a nerd to the nth degree, and I'm writing my stuff down. And, you know, that's what Marvel taught me. So when I first watched Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2, I just sat down and I just took it in. And what it is, it is. And then eventually I was like, wait a minute, that girl, she's not an intern. That's Black Widow. I know Natasha, you know? And you would just take it in. You'd learn these characters and want to go a little deeper. And it wasn't until this when you realize, holy crap, there's so much stuff being conveyed to you. You just got to pick up on it. So,
you think you're playing checkers, but they're really playing chess.
Correct.
It really is.
And you're playing it, and everything is done against a chess master. You think, oh, I'm so smart here. You realize there is so much stuff being conveyed to you, you can't even keep up with it right now. So, we've got observations here on episode one. So give me something that like really surprised you. Cause I've got a notes. I got about 6 or 7 notes here on episode one. Give me something, Preston, that really like stood out on episode one. And by the way, Jeremy, I never thought that Wanda was choking. That's a new perspective. I never picked up that she might be doing that. I always felt that she was kind of watching. I'm not saying you're wrong at all. It could be that you're right. Mm-hmm. But they do have a way.
He was saying forbidden words, man. She was force choking that dude.
Maybe she wants breakfast. The way that Marvel, and I'm sorry, Preston, the way that Marvel uses Zoom and cut screens in this to convey a moment of reality or a moment of like seriousness from the sitcom to the serious, it's impeccable. You know when things are going to get, when stuff's going to go down, you know it. And you can just pick it up. It's like a vibe you have on your arm. You know, you get your hair up and you're like, uh-oh, this is something's coming, you know? So it's wonderfully done. Give me something good, Preston. Episode one that really caught your eye.
Well, one of the biggest things that really stuck out to me in episode one was actually the very last scene where it shows, like, the camera zooming out and showing that old-fashioned TV with the credits.
Gotcha.
And I actually, in that scene, paused it and was really looking around for, like, clues, and I actually saw the symbol on that notebook.
Nice.
That was there. And I'm not going to say exactly what that was quite yet, because we're looking at episode one, but I had actually had looked up what that symbol meant. And as we continue talking, that actually started nice. In my head.
Nice. Scott, give me some episode one that really caught your eye.
I'm going to go on Jeremy's a little bit. I'd say the part that jumped out at me, or at least I'll say it's the part that gave me goosebumps a little bit, you know, the hair sticking up on my arm, was the choking scene. And when Mrs. Hart is just, like, looking at him, just going, stop it, stop it. And just, like, nonstop, just, I would say rhythmic, but just stop, 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 stop. And my wife pointed out, she thinks at some point, like, she turns her head a little bit and it looks like she's saying it to Wanda.
And she's crying when she says that.
It was the stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. And then eventually it's Wanda breaks character. You know, it's like breaking the fourth wall. You know, she has a higher pitched voice the whole the whole episode. Like, again, 50s style, very light, and I'm saying light and airy for a better choice, for lack of words.
Mm-hmm.
A little light and airy, and then all of a sudden she's like, Vision, fix, Vision, help him. Mm-hmm. It went back to her normal voice from all the movies that we've watched, because previous to that, it wasn't her. It wasn't her character. And then all of a sudden, in that one thing, she just snapped, and it was like, fourth wall broken, just right back to real Wanda, and you're like, whoa, what the hell just happened?
Exactly. Jeremy, anything that really stuck out besides that scene in episode one to you?
Well, I think Scott's wife is absolutely correct. She said stop it to Wanda.
Yeah, don't,
because Wanda was the one.
Scott, you have to say that more often too, just so you know.
Yeah, that lady was saying it to Wanda, the because it was Wanda. That's what I'm saying. So something that stuck out to me was that the one with the helicopter at the end, or was that number two?
That was number two.
Okay, so yeah, so then what stuck out to me was the two things that stuck out to me were the choking scene and then the antique TV as it pulled out.
Nice. We mentioned off the air, guys, about one thing that we thought was really cool was the commercials that were embedded. And this one was the Toastmaster 2000 or whatever the case was from Stark Industries. And we think those embedded commercials are really pretty fantastic. Yeah. My observation is twofold on number one. It's the first time that Sokovian was mentioned in a long time. And Sokovian was mentioned back when she was the twins with Strucker and whatnot. But it's the first time that word's been used in a long time. It's an interesting word usage because it's not very common. It's not brought up a lot about her heritage and her history. The second thing is with her neighbor, Agnes. Agnes is a curious character, and we know a lot of like fast talking neighbors and people we have a hard time understanding. I think I'm one of those people that I speak sometimes fast. People don't often hear what I say. She says something that I literally had to go and draw diagrams to try and figure this out. My wife said, no, you're thinking this too hard, but I want to make sure I understand this. She says that I'm your neighbor to your right. Not your right, my right, she says. So I try to draw diagrams and figure out, where does this woman live? So my wife says, well, you know, they could be facing each other. And I said, but the way that it flows out of her mouth, it's so quickly out of her mouth that I don't know if that word comes up in just casual conversation. If I'm talking to Jeremy, can you go to the McDonald's for me? Well, where's that? What's that? It's not your left. It's my left. I don't know if that registers that quickly. It's a weird word placement. And I've tried to figure out where she lives. I don't know where she lives. Because you can't orient them the same way and actually be correct. Because I know this much as a given. Through episode 3, to his left, that's where Herb lives. Herb's the big black dude that's cutting up the hedges and cuts the... So he lives there. And she's clearly on the one side of the fence with the bicycle. We're jumping to episode 3, I know, right now. So she can't live to that side. That's not her place. She lives with somebody. You know her husband's name, guys, by the way? Her husband's name is Ralph.
That's it, Ralph.
He refers to her Ralph several times. I've never seen Ralph, by the way. Ralph doesn't exist right now. Ralph's just a name.
It's a good 50s TV name, though.
It's a great 50s TV name. You know, these are all great 50s TV names. So I try to figure out, if the house on the right side that has to orient Wanda facing out from her doorway, but then Agnes can't say from your right, my right, not yours, because that orients, whatever the case is, the word choice is weird. And I caught it immediately that it was a weird word choice and it came too freely from her mouth. But anyways, episode 1, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I liked it and I'm committed. And the ending, Preston, it kept me hooked. Because I knew there was something going on. But it wasn't a great lead-in episode. But it was a story they have to paint. Interesting use of the 50s. Okay, episode 2. We're now in episode 2. And they appear in bed together. Two single beds or twin beds as they were. As was common, I guess, back then. I don't know. And there happens to be a romantic scene. Funny how these two characters, who could be the most powerful characters in the MCU, are afraid of a noise downstairs. So they almost fall back to their sitcom type life in the 60s at this point, knowing that Wanda and Vision could single-handedly take care of a home robber. you know, on their own at this point. The beds join together and there's a romantic scene. It's very cute. Okay. So that's the scene we're in right now. Does anyone want to summarize? Jeremy, Scott, want to summarize episode 2 by any chance? Just give us a minute to kind of go over the plot. Anybody? No? Scott, hit it up, buddy.
No, I'm pointing to Jeremy.
You're pointing to Jeremy. Okay.
All right. So number 2 is number 2 the magic show?
Yes.
And the pool party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and the pool party. So again, the premise behind it is there's going to be the premise of it is that their broader interaction with their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So you're meeting more of the neighbor cast and the social hierarchy of the neighbor cast. Again, there's a desire, like Preston was talking about earlier. They want to fit in. They don't want to stick out. And so it's the dynamic of keeping they want to assimilate into the neighborhood without being too wacky. And the setup is there's a charity fundraiser, and they're going to... For the children. And they're gonna do an act in the charity fundraiser, and there's a kind of a big cheese socialite lady who is the kind of the ringleader of the ladies of the town, and that's the premise for episode 2.
Exactly, Dottie, right? Her name is Dottie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Agnes goes and grabs Wanda relatively early, and they walk her down, and Agnes tells Wanda. Fit in the best you can. And if you're in with Dottie, you're in. So she walks out of the house and she's followed by a bunch of other women and they're talking and having small talk. And then one of the next scenes we see is they're gathered around the pool. It looks like at a country club in a 1950s or 1960s fashion. And Dottie's holding court with her ladies. And this is one of the first times we see Geraldine. So we actually see Geraldine. It's easy for me to remember because that's my mom's first name. So I happen to see Geraldine the first time around the pool party. And she says, "You're something like your pants are peachy keen." And they use the vernacular of the 1960s, right? And again, Dottie's holding court, which is one of my first questions to you guys. Geraldine, later on, you would know and you would learn later on. There's a bunch of things that we learn. And I want you to put a pin in this one. Is why is she at this pool party? And how is she being received and accepted as a community member at this pool party? So let's just think about that for later on. Anyways, as it goes around, it's a security issue, and Vision goes to the neighborhood library because they're doing a watch party, or they're doing a watch, and they're having a meeting of the men's club at the library, right? And that's where Vision kind of walks in, and they discuss various things like the prefabricated treehouse and whatnot, and they go over getting extra Danish, and there's a lot of things being discussed here. Any observations, anything up to this point you guys want to hit on as we're going along? Jeremy, Scott?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So as episode 2 kind of started, and they were talking about how, like, the neighbors were kind of suspicious of them, and you see, like, Geraldine showing up and, like, talking to Wanda, like, oh, you just gotta try to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't help but notice during the very beginning that the whole time Wanda was around, all of the people were just on edge, sort of. Like, particularly Dottie, but, like, all of them were on edge. And I just remember having a thought of, like, how can she fit in to a neighborhood if the neighborhood isn't real, is the thought that I had at that point. Because I started to think that maybe that wasn't a real neighborhood.
Okay, interesting. I didn't pick up the on edge thing, but you know, now that in reflection, you're right. You're definitely right. There was something palpable. Scott, anything up to that point that you noticed that was weird?
The only thing I'd really say is that I don't want to go into too much detail at the moment, but I love Geraldine's character when they brought her in. And when the main thing that jumped out at me is she starts talking to Wanda. And I'm not sure if, I guess maybe Wanda asked, like, you know, asked a question, and Geraldine's like, she looked stunned for a second. She's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I was like, what the heck is that about? It was kind of like an off the cuff remark. It wasn't anything that really, like, they punched it at you. It was just like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And I was just like, okay. It was like, that's just an odd way to say that. You know, it's not, it is, you know, I immediately knew there's possibly something else there, not just like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, like, this is not my cup of tea. This is not my thing. It was just like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And that popped at me. And obviously, we hadn't even touched on the Dottie Wanda interaction afterwards.
Yeah, that's coming up for sure.
Yeah, which you really start seeing some more.
Gotcha. Jeremy, anything up to that point that you wanted to talk about?
Up to that point?
Yes. No. They have, this is where the color.
I mean, the radio part, there is a small radio part that leads up to the other part, right?
Exactly.
Or is that, are we considering that one scene?
No.
Like, I don't know. I don't know when we're not supposed to step on it. I'm done with it. The radio comes on, weird stuff happens.
I'm like alluding to it a little bit. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Geraldine was interesting, but I'm still a little boredish, you know, getting up to here, but it's about to.
You got to send the church, Scott. You got to send the pew. Take us to church now. Give us the sermon. Yeah.
You know what, Scott, please do. The only thing I would mention is that we mentioned the helicopter, and the helicopter makes a scene here beforehand, and she goes out, and it's the first time you actually see color, and everything's intentionally in black and white, except for this maroon and gold yellow helicopter with a symbol on the side. And it's the first time we actually see color up to this point, and it's obvious that's its intent to show you color. So, all right, Scott, we're at a pool party, and there's an interaction. Dottie and Wanda. And Wanda does a leading off, and there's radio playing. So what's going on here?
No, it was just Wanda's, I guess, offering to help clean up, or maybe was kind of like pushed into it a little bit, and she's just apologizes. She feels like she got off on the wrong foot, and Dottie is just not hearing any of it. You know, she's like, I apologize. You know, I'll do whatever I can to make this, you know, to get this smooth between us. And she's like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, okay, Dottie is just not going to hear any of this. And then there's a little radio there, and you start hearing talking in the background, talking to Wanda, and they're both trying to concentrate and figure out what the heck it is. And then all of a sudden, like, the screen kind of cuts and jumps back, and you're like, did my internet just glitch out? What just happened here? It's nothing that's really happened yet. It's the first time you're going, this just like skipped. What is this? And Dottie ends up breaking the glass in her hand, and you see the red blood on her hand. So again, the second time now, they've introduced a little color in there just on the helicopter and her hand at that point. But you're going, wait, you know, what was that? There's talking to her, and something just freaked.
Okay.
And you're trying to figure out what was that. And that's, again, hairs start going up a little bit. You're like, what is that? Because I don't think that was my internet. Something, they did something here.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think, so when you say that both, I don't know if Dottie was focused on hearing that. I think she was focused on Wanda, and she can see the intensity rise in Wanda, and that kind of scared Dottie. Interesting choice. They had Help Me Rhonda by the Beach Boys playing at that point in the music on the radio. But it'd be an interesting thought if Dottie heard that as well, too. I didn't pick that up, but you're probably right. That
I might be wrong.
She was sensing.
How did you guys take it? Did you think that Dottie heard it, or did you think that it was just Wanda and she was focused? I could be way off. Again, I like to look at the pretty pictures.
I felt like during that scene, almost like I think you alluded to it before with the fourth wall statement. Anytime reality, like Marvel Universe reality, starts to break into the sitcom, Wanda, or well, the scene, but I personally thought it was Wanda ever since that first scene where the choking scene happened,
mm-hmm.
every time I watch Wanda, when something weird happens, I watch for Wanda's reaction to it, because there's almost a fight or flight look in her eye. She wants to run, but she also wants to fight. She wants to tear it down, and then there's a tension break, and then all of a sudden everything goes back to normal. And for me, I know we're talking about episode 2, but it's a carryover from episode 1. It's that same dynamic that as soon as anything starts to get real, there's some sort of emotional trauma almost that appears in the visage of Wanda, and then something will happen to snap it back.
Okay.
Well, snap's probably a terrible word to use.
Interesting word choice. Well, let me freeze that for a second, and let's go back about 5 or 6 movies to where, I don't know if you guys remember, but Hawkeye had a discussion with her as Sokovia is being lifted into the ground, and essentially tells her in a fight or flight moment, when you walk out this door, you are an Avenger, And she had a choice right there too as well. So it's not unlike her character to be facing that situation. And remember, her history is when we first notice her, she's being held captive. She's being held captive in a cage, her and her brother, and she's working on her telekinesis powers in this cutscene at the end of a movie. So she's already being manipulated in one way or another back many, many, many movies ago. So
her entire life has been trauma with small respites that mostly involve vision. So, I mean, that brings you right through the theme of this TV show, mm-hmm. is that she just wants some peace, and that peace is clearly the peace in her life is vision.
Okay. Preston, anything that you'd like to say up to that point? Anything, any observations? We're through the radio at this point. We're through the broken glass and whatnot at this point.
Okay. So, I really like what Jeremy said about using the word visage, because that kind of reminded me of, like, as I was at that point in the show, I'd already been thinking about how, like, maybe that town wasn't real, and we kept seeing all of the cutting scenes. And I kind of wondered if maybe she created that town just so she could somehow be with, like, this illusion of vision being there. And when he said visage, it really kind of made me think of that.
Okay, so up to this point, are you thinking this is a manifestation of Wanda herself?
Yes.
Okay, so up to this point, I think that's where we should probably declare our thoughts. Are we thinking this is a traumatic coping mechanism? Is she still mourning from the death of Vision, her indestructible-headed husband, and she's going through a coping mechanism?
I think if you rapidly skip through, I mean, we could take it episode by episode, but if you skip up to date, I think it's pretty firmly established that that's what's going on.
Okay.
I think she's taken this whole place hostage.
Okay.
I think everybody in there is a hostage.
Okay. So she's officially on the do not date list at this point. I'm just gonna declare this right now. Okay, with this kind of basket case that she's bringing around, she's on the do not date list. So
there's one. Oh man, I don't know how fast to do this. Are we allowed to just start playing out theories now?
No. Hold those theories.
All right, rein me in then. Rein me in. I'm about to hit it hard.
Another thing I wanted to mention is at the top secret information men's meeting. We're talking about Danish. Vision, who's not capable of a lie, makes this crazy comment and says, well, Norm here is a communist. And they all laugh at him and play it off and go forward, and it's just dropped. It's a really interesting statement. How would he have that statement? How would he know that? How would he develop that thought? So it's a pretty interesting statement just dropped in the middle there, and they left it alone, which I'm sure we'll revisit at this point. Some of the words that Wanda and Dottie use in this interaction is Wanda says, I assure you, I don't mean anyone any harm. Dottie says, I don't believe you. You know, that's a pretty strong statement in this interaction. So how would Dottie have that statement? How would she know enough to make that point right there? So anyways, you're right. This is the magic scene, and where he chews gum, he comes out, he acts like he's drunk, but really his innards are all kind of wonky, and they're going through, and Wanda's saving the day and pulling this scene out and pulling this scene out and giving everyone the chance to laugh, which is the end of the magic show, and they go off to be a big hit, and they give them the special award. Okay, they go back home and they sit down. They look very much like a loving couple, and they decide they're going to have the anniversary date is this date, and or they're going to get is this where they create rings, guys? Is this one, or is this on episode one?
That was this one.
They create rings and they have a very loving moment, and they hear something outside, so they go outside and they walk together, and there's a great zoom scene as they hear a noise and the manhole cover lifts, and all of a sudden a guy pops out of the manhole cover, and it looks like he could be setting up a villain of some kind. We don't know enough about this guy.
The beekeeper.
The terrible beekeeper, you know? But then again, some of those African bees like you see are like the bees from South America or something. Sometimes those things get crazy on the internet, so you never know. It could be a ferocious beekeeper. I don't know.
Murder hornets.
Right? Murder hornets and stuff and Asian longhorn beetles. Anyways, Wanda has this great scene, and in a moment of seriousness, she goes, no, And all of a sudden, the scene starts over again, and it plays something different. And it was a great moment of, like, I refuse to entertain this reality. Bam, done. New scene. And it pretty much winds to an end at that point. So there's an introduction, and the beekeeper, of course, has a logo on him as well, too. So we've seen this logo a few different times now, and we're wondering what this is. Okay, episode 3 at this point. Okay, we started episode 3. Let me see here.
Well, don't forget, I don't know if you'll hit the end of episode 2, where all of a sudden...
Hit me.
Out of nowhere, she's 3 months pregnant.
Great point. You know what? I'm sorry. I got all these notes here, of course.
Because that's going to be something that carries over and kind of important going forward.
You're so right. I would have missed the major plot.
That one little thing just going, all of a sudden at the end of the episode, like, she stands up, she turns around.
Is this real?
This big baby bump. You're like, what?
Straight.
Shouldn't have slid those two twin beds together.
Yep.
Exactly. So you're exactly right. You know, I would have missed the major plot there. So she's pregnant. We go into episode 3. And one of the first things is the doctor saying, he's got a doctor checking her out and seeing she's pregnant. And we asked the little ladies, a great sexist moment like they would have in a 60s or 70s show. And it was intentional, obviously. And I shouldn't say great, but like it was like a classic sexist
quintessential
moment. Quintessential. Yes. Better word. Thank you, Jeremy. He asked little ladies to keep tabs of their little ones by... comparing it to fruit, it makes it simple for them, you know, as the doctor would have. So, really interesting there. A scene that comes up later on after some dialogue takes place is they're in the nursery, and they're talking in the nursery, and all of a sudden, she unwittingly animates butterflies. And the butterflies that she hung as a... What is this thing called again in the... What is it? I'm sorry? A mobile, right? You can see my kids probably never had that. No, terrible father. I get a terrible father award, Scott. She animates butterflies. Anything you guys noticed in the first third of this episode that you want to discuss? Because you're exploring Wanda's pregnancy at this point, and she's progressing rapidly. Like she seems to get pregnant and more pregnant and bigger and bigger and bigger by... I don't know if you can get more pregnant. Once you're pregnant, you're pregnant. But she's getting bigger and bigger and bigger as the minutes go along. Anything
She's nesting and all that, yeah.
Correct. Anything, Preston, you want to talk about?
Well, the only thing that I really noticed at that point in the episode was the way that Vision is reacting to this rapidness is like... versus what Wanda is reacting like is so different. Like, he's freaking out, which on the surface just seems like a father being scared to death about his pregnant wife. Mm-hmm. But like, it's like he has no idea what's going on, whereas she's just playing it off as like, oh, it must be a fluke, which just, that's just even more evidence where it's like, I feel like she knows something's going on, and somehow he, whether it's actually him or not, doesn't, and like she's hiding something from Vision.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of evidence of that.
Great point. I want to come back to you because I got a thought here too on that. Scott, you got anything about so far?
The only thing, they're all kind of blending together a little bit, but the main thing, I think it's early on in that episode, is when it's the introduction of Herb again as the next door neighbor, when he's doing like the hedge trimming. And they goes outside talking to Herb's there, and he's cutting the hedges, and he's just cutting through the concrete. And Vision kind of looks at him and just like, Herb, you okay? What's going on? And he just kind of like snaps out of it. Like, he's smiling at first, like, nope, everything's fine. And you're going, something's obviously really off here.
Okay.
That's really thinking that kind of like jumped out in like the first half of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's not what you're looking for. I'm not sure. That's the main thing that's kind of like.
That's perfect. Jeremy, anything in the first part of this episode that caught your eye?
For me, ever since the first episode, I couldn't shake the feeling that nobody besides Wanda like really wanted to be there. Like, and that feeling continued right through the scene that Scott just said. But in the past episode when we discussed Dottie being like, I don't believe you, and the coughing scene in the first part, like people are here, but nobody really seems to want to be here. Like, they're all playing through, they're all role playing, they're all doing their part. Like, Vision is, like Preston said, Vision is the nervous dad, and she is the nesting mom. Everybody's doing the role playing. Herb is upkeeping his wall, but he's kind of gritting his teeth while he's smiling, looking unsure of what he's doing while he's sawing through the concrete. Like, nobody really, all the characters kind of feel like they're hostages to me. I just keep repeating the same line, but it all plays that way.
Okay. Can I give you guys
even the doctor? The doctor is like, oh, I'm going to go on this trip and everything else. And he's going to go on the trip and the pregnancy is rapidly going and his car is messed up because he can't leave.
Gotcha.
He's trapped there too.
Can I give you Crazy Chris theory number one at this point? Because it's appropriate time because of what Preston says. So here's
your cap. We're fine.
Exactly. We'll save it for a different show. Here's Crazy Chris theory number one, which gives credibility to the thought that this is a Wanda created outcome. And here's why. Let's say you're a teenager and you grow up in Eastern Europe. Okay, let's say if you grow up in Sokovia, I know it's not real, but let's say you grow up in Sokovia. What kind of programming is Sokovia going to offer you as a youngster? They're going to offer you syndicated TV shows from America. So all she's ever been exposed to in her life is reruns of 50s, 60s, and 70s type shows. So her relationships, her knowledge of how a man should act, it comes from 50s, 60s and 70s type TV shows. Her close relationships come from, well, Hawkeye, and who largely is Jarvis at this point. So a traditional male role, it comes from syndication TV. So if you said this was a Wanda created thing, or this was a coping mechanism, or she had a nervous breakdown, oh, I'd buy it, because she's putting all that she knows into that thought in the form of a 50s WandaVision, a 60s WandaVision, a 70s. Vision doesn't play the character that you know Vision to be, super intelligent and logical. He plays a doddering, stuttering, nervous father. And that would come from watching TV. That would come from watching Dick Van Dyke. So is it entirely possible?
Are we allowed to talk theories yet, since you talked to theories?
Yes, for sure. That was my, because it played off of Preston. Please do.
Give it to us, Jeremy.
All right. So, all right, we know from, okay, so we didn't touch on Monica yet. Monica, we find out that Geraldine is actually Monica, and everybody knows that Monica is the little kid grown up who was Captain Marvel's friend. Does everybody know that?
Yes. But this is episode four.
This is episode four. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate to break through, just slam through number four, but just to make sense of it all.
You had to. If you held it any longer, it would have been
I know, and we're at 42 minutes. Come on, guys. Let's just bam. All right. So, okay. So here's what I think. 2.5 weeks approximately has passed since Hulk snapped and the blip happened and everybody's come back undusted. Are we about that time frame? Does everybody agree with that?
Meaning where no one pays attention that the most epic battle of good versus evil probably occurred somewhere relatively close to them on the planet and no one's adjusted to that at this point? With catastrophic forces of good and evil, and no one's recognized that. Okay,
but are we all agreed though? Yes. We're approximately 16 to 18 days past Captain America yelling "Avengers assemble!" and then all this stuff happening.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I had 3 weeks, but you're correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it's a little tiny bit less than 3 weeks, but we're in that time frame. So a lot has happened in that time frame, including Captain America grabbing the Infinity Stones and running them back to their timelines, and possibly by doing so creating all sorts of alternate realities or splitting off timelines or trying to repair timelines.
Okay.
So what I want to bring back around is that Wanda's powers originally came from the Mind Stone. The Mind Stone was inside the Scepter. So you've got the Scepter that was being worked on in the lab. Her and her brother were captive by Strucker, is it?
Baron von Strucker, yes.
Baron von Strucker is working on them. He's got the Scepter. Inside the Scepter is the Mind Stone. That's which Gem has got there. So Wanda's powers originate from the Mind Stone. Now, does anybody know which stone Vision has in his head?
He had the Mind Stone.
He had the Mind Stone. So now we've got... So they're not just connected by love. Like, you know, Vision and Wanda aren't just a love story. They're also bound together by one of the most powerful, potent powers in the universe that was there before creation itself, or that was there at creation. You know, one of the Infinity Stones. They're bound by the Infinity Stones. Now, if you take any normal person, you've got a body and you've got a spirit. But Vision has three parts. He's got his body, he's got Jarvis, and he's got the Mind Stone. Okay. And that's that whole scene where they're trying to pull the Mind Stone out of him before Thanos can get there in the Infinity War. They're trying to remove the Mind Stone because they all accept that some part of Vision will still be in Vision if they can carefully take the Mind Stone out.
Perhaps the best parts.
Yes, exactly. But what if when Thanos reaches in and pulls out that Mind Stone, what if the best parts, what if Vision's not dead? What if that body just lays down and is laid down there on the ground immobile because it's, you know, the husk, but Vision is inside the Mind Stone, the personality, Jarvis, and everything else. They were trying to remove the Mind Stone from Vision, but they didn't get that far. So what if Vision is still inside the Mind Stone? So we've got 3 weeks have passed. Wanda is totally crazy with grief, and there's somewhere out there is a Mind Stone. If she managed to get that Mind Stone back, that whole big town might have been kidnapped by her grief, by her mental breakdown. But she might also be on a quest. This whole thing might be a rescue mission to go save Jarvis, to go save Vision.
Okay. Here's my
That's what I think this is. I think this whole thing is a rescue mission.
But here's my question, Jeremy, on this. Remember, Vision died after Infinity War.
Is he really dead, though?
This is true, but his husk would have been laid on the floor.
Yeah.
And then an extended period of time occurred.
3 weeks.
No, not until. It's several years.
Oh, 5 years. Okay, yeah. So he's somewhere. But she was dusted, so for her it was 3 weeks.
Yeah, for her it was 3 weeks.
For her it was 3 weeks, the separation from the Mind Stone.
Correct.
For her only 3 weeks has passed.
Correct.
So his body could be wherever his body was. His body still might be in Wakanda. Or she might have, or we might find out there's a Black Panther 2 that's going to happen before the next character that she plays, which is in the Doctor Strange and mm-hmm. the Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
So we don't know which order these are all going to drop in, but I feel like there's a strong possibility that this whole story is a rescue mission.
Okay. Preston, you got a theory you want to espouse at this point then? You want to talk about a crazy conspiracy theory you have?
I do have one, but I feel like we still need to hold out a little bit longer
for episode. Save it. Scott, you got one that you want to talk about, or can you save yours?
Pictures.
Okay.
I love pretty pictures.
Okay. Some other observations. Phil wearing the turtleneck is married to Dottie. Interesting combination. The most passive person in the town and the person that's getting fired is married to the most dominant woman in the town at this point. So just a unique observation. You know, I know opposites attract, but I'm just making a point there that's just a unique combination at this point. Yeah. Scott, agreed?
I agree completely. I mean, it jumped out as a weird combination, but I sat there and said, you know, again, opposites attract, but again, it doesn't seem right. Like, it almost like forced together at that point.
Correct.
They didn't seem like the right couple.
The doctor says small towns, you know, they're so hard to escape. So
is
the doctor
seen so far?
The doctor uses those words, is small towns, you know, so hard to escape. A really interesting statement, because the doctor gets really serious there for a second, and you could tell it's not a cohesive line. He sputters for a moment. He hesitates delivering that line in this part. This is where, towards the end, that the birth happens, and they discuss the birth. And this is where the word Pietro comes up first. Mm-hmm. And this is where Vision refers to her brother, her deceased brother, as "I was a twin. It was Pietro." And she goes on to sing this Sokovian song, I'm assuming, okay, at this point. And Geraldine says, oh yeah, wasn't he killed by Ultron? And in a moment of real, like, what the? As you listen as the audience, it grabs a hold of you. And she gets a hold of it. And she says, what did you say? Because Ultron, even in the MCU, it's very rare that a villain would be mentioned in an additional, you know, sometimes, unless you're Bucky. Bucky seems to have, but every other movie is about Bucky at some point. But, yeah, very rare they actually have crossovers with the villain. So to come up with as Ultron is pretty unique, I think, at this point. She noticed that Geraldine's wearing the necklace. So now this logo is literally everywhere. It's on helicopters. Geraldine's wearing it. It's on notebooks. It's literally everywhere. So we don't quite know what it is unless you're like me and you can't resist going onto Google and finding your information and getting caught in rabbit holes that last hours during your workday.
So, I think Preston beat you there, actually. I think he was there 2 weeks before you.
I think he was. So, so at this point, what are you thinking here? I mean, we see the end. We see her getting angry. Vision comes in and said, where's Geraldine? Oh, she had to leave. And before you know it, she gets booted out of this cosmic barrier web device. And the Monkees song, the Cherub Sleepy Jean song, is playing while she gets booted out. And it's pretty intense at this point. Like, you know something crazy is going on. And the intensity originated from Wanda, though it's not, we don't know just why, just at this point. Anything, any observations, gentlemen, from episode 3?
Yes.
Hit me.
I have, by the time I got to episode 3, I already had my theory forming in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been kind of working on everybody there was a hostage, and I was trying to figure out if Wanda seemed to be capable of being dangerous within the scenario. So a lot of my focus on the shows were, is Wanda's clearly dangerous in this scenario, but is she a hostage in this scenario?
Hmm.
And then the other thing that occurred to me was, are the other characters, or are the other people there, are they active within their own things, or do they only exist? Are they kind of almost like sitting in a stasis thing until it's time for them to perform? Or do they actually have their own things going on?
Huh.
And one thing that I noticed that led me to believe the theory that it's a rescue mission, that is, Vision is the world outside of Wanda. If you take that this is a Wanda, essentially imagine the whole show, it's a play on words. The whole show is a Wanda vision.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's not just Vision, the character, but it's a Wanda delusion. Vision being a play on words from delusion. This whole show is Wanda vision, you know?
Okay.
So if you do that, then either one, Vision is dead and she's imagining his entire role, or two, he's not dead and he's playing his own part. Vision exists outside and separate from Wanda. He's in scenes she's not in. He does stuff that she doesn't know about. And he catches on to fourth wall breaks, like when Herb is cutting through the wall. That tells me that Vision is not just a figment of Wanda's imagination. Some form of Vision is actually there. And if Vision's there...
That was Vision, by the way, guys.
There,
I'm sorry.
If Vision, yeah, see, he's calling
that
us
was
to
Vision.
He's, if Vision's really there, then it has to be, one, there's three parts of Vision. There's the lifeless husk.
Okay.
There's the Jarvis Vision, the best parts of him. And there was the part of him that was caught in the Mind Stone. My theory being that the Vision was pulled out and inside the Mind Stone.
Huh.
And so that's one thing that I would say is that in that doctor scene, Wanda's not there. Who's there? Vision. Just by himself.
Hang on. In the doctor scene, you're talking about the doctor scene
where he goes, the car's broken down, and
gotcha.
The doctor says,
okay.
It's very, small towns are hard to escape.
Okay.
Wanda's nowhere near there. She's hoo-in and having labor pains and everything else. She's off with Geraldine in labor.
Okay.
And Vision is, in throughout these episodes, Vision is his own entity. under his own power, own steam, own point of views, being surprised by and breaking the fourth wall and realizing reality is not quite right all on his own.
Okay.
He couldn't do that unless a piece of him was alive somewhere.
Okay, so we're speeding up, though. I think we can all agree that episode one, we were going to hang in there no matter what. Episode two, we got a little more invested because we actually thought we might have actually saw a villain. Maybe not, but, you know, there was a person that piqued our interest. Episode three was in color, and that was unique. So now we're warping through the 70s at this point, and Paul Bettany's got this luxurious Jeremy Murray-esque husk of hair on his head. It's just this gorgeous flowing locks. Episode four, I think everyone looked at episode four after it came out and said, hot damn, it was about time. And we had some additional character throwbacks in episode four. So episode four, the very first thing you hear is Lieutenant Trouble. And so immediately you started to put two and two together. You saw, you know, this actress. You saw this black female actress. And you saw Lieutenant Trouble. And you're like, holy crap, that's the kid from Captain Marvel. Because up to that point, I don't know if she was referred to as Monica. She was only Geraldine at that point. So all of a sudden, you're like, oh my God. And all of a sudden, the wheel started spinning from like the first 3 seconds of episode four. And you noticed at that point that she woke up and we didn't see quite the snap reappearing, the blip fixing itself at this point. But you saw her leaving the room and there was chaos. Chaos in the hospital everywhere. And there were bodies running in every direction. And she hits a guy in the head and boom, she finds a doctor. The doctor admits, oh my gosh, where are you? And she was like, oh, I was sleeping. Where's my mom? She died many years ago. What do you mean? I've been sleeping. So you understand now where you're caught in the MCU timeline as the blip reoccurred.
It's a cool spot, too, because it's the first time you ever see what the heck actually happened when the people came back. You know, because when you're watching Infinity War, Endgame, when you're watching Endgame, you know, all of a sudden the characters just kind of pop back out. You know, they come through the shield and they're like, hey, you know, Spider-Man makes the joke that, you know, I was sitting there and all of a sudden, like, you know, all of a sudden, what's it called? Doctor Strange is here. He's like, hey, we got to go save the world. And, you know, like, they just pop back and they never ever touch it anywhere. And it's the first time you ever sit there and say, this is what happened in real life, not just Marvel land, you know, with the characters. This is a hospital. They're popping back and people are bumping into each other and people are coming back. It's the first time that they've ever, ever touched it. And as a Marvel fan, you're like, oh, this really is linking into it. And you get really excited about it. I
mean, think about this, Scott. What if you were on an airplane that day and you dusted?
I've actually thought about that before and wondered what
happened. When you blip back in, you'd be at 30,000 feet.
Okay. I have thought about that.
Well, let me ask you this much then. I mean, this is a side here. How come the hospital was chaos, yet the Avengers came back from their blip completely prepared for battle with a unified message of battle? How did that happen?
I think that's because when they were blipped out, they were in the middle of a battle.
But they came back prepared in a calm fashion, walking through. If you got blipped out of battle, you'd wake up running, steaming, hot. Black Panther came through walking, casually, ready, prepared for battle. I'm just curious. Just a side note right there. So
the guy's got swag, though.
He does got swag. He's got
like you're gonna phase him. Yeah.
And Jeremy, as we learned, Chadwick Boseman was the man.
He was
the man. He'll always be the man for enduring what he had to endure without ever letting people know about that. So
I think that was probably just storyline, just to sit there and have them come back all cool and calm and collected. Like, you know, because again, things are looking bad. Then all of a sudden, you know, you get the, you know, Cap on your right and they all start slowly coming in with the swag. You're like the introduction, instead of coming in like freaking out and jumping around, you know, it would have been odd to see them like that.
Agreed. But I did make a note. How come they came back with a cohesive battle plan? As opposed to the chaos. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, where have you been? What happened? What's going on? So
you can tell from the exchange of Wu and Doctor Strange that it wasn't entirely cohesive. Like, you wanted more? Like, what? You know what I'm saying? There's definitely some side conversations happening during that scene.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's the first time we actually see Sword, and we see a base for Sword. And all of a sudden, we're like...
Time Stone also.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
No problem.
Doctor Strange has got a time zone. So if he... When he blipped back in... You only maybe only 3 minutes of battle formation happens during then from, well, no, I would say there's a good 5 minutes. No, more than that, 18 minutes.
Okay.
Because I've watched on YouTube, I've watched the battle sequence, and I think from the moment Hulk snaps his fingers till the moment the portal's open on your left, and is it on your left or on your right?
I can't remember. It's on your left.
On your left. On your left happens, and then everybody comes in. I think there's between 15 and 18 minutes. But because Doctor Strange is in play, like, who knows how long it actually... Oh, he doesn't have the time stone, does he? Because, no.
But, Jeremy, how does S.W.O.R.D. come into play? This is the first time I recognize him as an MCU, and we're not comic book guys, so we haven't read the comic book. So anything we're saying right now is mere speculation of giant nerds sitting around on a Monday evening. So we
How does S.W.O.R.D. come into play?
Yes. Prior to that, have we seen them other than the logo?
If I could intervene right
please,
here.
Please,
this is actually the perfect time to reveal my theory.
Let's do it.
So, as I said, I had actually looked up what the symbol meant right from episode one. I knew that it was S.W.O.R.D. the entire time. And from looking that up, I knew that S.W.O.R.D. was basically just an extension of S.H.I.E.L.D. that is basically related to space. And if you go back to Captain Marvel at the very end, there's a cutscene at the very end where you see Nick Fury sitting on an island, and it zooms out and he's on a spaceship with a lot of those, were they the Kree?
Yes.
The Kree, yeah, the Kree. From the moment I looked up...
Hang on. Are you talking about the character Talos?
Yeah, Talos.
Okay.
Shape changers.
Gotcha. That wasn't the Kree.
That wasn't the Kree.
Correct.
And
I'm drawing a blank. I'll figure it out. I just had it by the top of my head because that was Ben Mendelsohn, I think, was the actor, and did an amazing job. Of course, I should know this. But keep on going. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Keep on going.
But yeah, so you have those shapeshifters. I immediately started wondering if that was S.W.O.R.D. and that was sort of an early...
A Skrull.
Skrull.
Thank
boy.
You. Well, like, maybe that on the spaceship was like an early hint to S.W.O.R.D. coming into play. And so that's when I started thinking back to like the helicopter and everything, and like the Wanda, are you there on the radio? If somehow they'd figured out what was going on and were trying to like maybe rescue her, not realizing that she was in control of everything.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Okay. Really good.
Did you catch that Monica's mother, Maria, was the one who started S.W.O.R.D.?
I did not catch that.
That was in episode 4.
Yes. He introduces her several times as the founder of S.W.O.R.D., and she put some of the policies that eventually keeps Monica grounded and puts him on this drone mission because we're following the responsibilities and programming that your mother sent up for this organization. Anyways, S.W.O.R.D. is known as the Sentient Weapon Observation Response Division. And do you know if you screenshot Disney Plus on your phone, it will not actually capture Disney Plus? I tried to do a screenshot and I had to go back and hit pause many times to try it because I just needed to write the words down. So I'm not trying to go and broadcast it, but I learned this. So it will not capture on your phone, just so you know, by the way. So if you ever need to screenshot words, there you go.
That's next level program.
They put two words too fast, and big dorks like me have to try and copy them quickly. Anyways, something else here. So they introduce Agent Wu. Agent Wu, of course, is from Ant-Man, and he's kind of the bumbling agent that can't seem to quite catch what's going on in Ant-Man, but he plays a lovable character anyways and makes a reappearance. And we find him with Monica outside of Westview, standing right by the sign. And he says, I flew in from Oakland, and that's where immediately I ran to another obstacle. What is that obstacle? She wonders. And they approach the sheriff. And they said, Sheriff, would you mind telling us about this? There is no Westview. There's only an Eastview. What do you mean? They're looking at a sign that says Westview. So the sheriff has no knowledge, or pretends to have no knowledge, of a Westview. So this is where things get a little bit interesting. because the back of the car has got writing on it, so I wrote it down. It's got a date on there of 1966, so I've got to do more research to figure out what 1966 means on the back of that car. It obviously was intentional, because the side of the car had an Eastview logo. It didn't have a Westview logo, so it clearly had an Eastview logo. During the conversation, Agent Wu and Monica are talking, and the car starts up, but you don't see what direction the car goes. It doesn't go straight. It doesn't go behind, but it disappears. The reason why I say that is we learn you can't go there. You can't explore this town. Why? Why did Agent Wu say you could not explore this town? Anybody, give me an answer here. Someone.
It didn't want you to come in.
It didn't want you there, right? So where does the car go? It was intentional. We didn't see where that sheriff's car goes. Because if it went forward, we saw the road in about 20 seconds, and the road was completely devoid of traffic for the next 3 miles. It didn't go past us. Why didn't we see it go past us? It was intentional where you didn't see the sheriff go. So I firmly believe that. But they deny any knowledge of having a Westview town. And this episode, up to this point, they're already just throwing you Easter eggs left and right and left and right. And we should say, if you don't know what an Easter egg is, it's just an embedded callback to a different part of the MCU or movie, book, comic, something that you would have to pay attention to catch, and you would miss it on a superficial level.
It's kind of like foreshadowing, but it might be foreshadowing, side shadowing, back shadowing.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Okay, so we soon see another Marvel character introduced here. So we see her introduced on a vehicle with a bunch of other scientists. Anybody want to throw this one out there? Scott, who do we see?
I forget her name. I don't know her exact name, but it's the assistant from Thor.
The assistant from Thor, Jeremy.
Holly Portman's assistant.
Kat Dealey.
Darcy Lewis.
Darcy.
Dr. Darcy Lewis. So she tries to find out what's going on. Hey, all these scientists are in this clown car. What do you guys do? And she realizes S.W.O.R.D. has no idea what they're facing right now, because they've got astrophysicists and they've got chemists and they've got everybody, and they're trying to throw everything they can at this to figure out what's going on. So S.W.O.R.D. knows something's up. They're just not sure what at this point. They're being called in. So your view on putting in these, I don't want to give them, there's no like slight meant to this comment, but these are minor characters in the MCU, albeit notable characters. You cool with putting in Agent Wu and Darcy and stuff? Cool with utilizing these characters here, guys? Yes? Everyone's nodding with big smiles on their face. Yes, sir?
Absolutely.
More than cool. It's the Marvel Universe.
Gotcha.
It's the Marvel Universe. All these people are alive and well and doing their own things.
Because
we don't know how many of them were snapped or blipped or any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
That's true. We never see them with any dust at all.
Correct. I guess it's cool in this sense that it really ties it into other movies you've seen. And right here, what you thought was in the Thor storyline and what you thought was in the Ant-Man storyline, boy, that strawberry, that banana, that yogurt, that all got just tossed into a blender right here, because it's all just one big story at this point forward, which makes me come up to Crazy Chris theory too. I don't know if we'll finish this series with a concise answer. I think this will only be played out in the other MCU series that are to come still. We will not finish this with a concise wrap-up. It will bleed into the Winter Soldier. It'll bleed into the new Black Panther series. It'll bleed into the Multiverse of Madness. This won't end with an answer. That's what
Spider-Man, I did a little browsing around just before this, and did everybody see the...
Did you clear your cookies like me, Jeremy? No. I'm just saying.
What was the cartoon Spider-Man that just happened with Miles Morales and with Spider-Pig and
Into the Spider-Verse?
There you go.
Into the Spider-Verse. So Into the Spider-Verse, kind of looked. It was straddling the line between canon and its own thing. You couldn't. When I was watching it a couple of years ago with my family, we actually saw that at Disney. We were in Disney. It was a rainy day, and we went to the theater back when you could do such mundane things like go to a theater. And we saw it
back when I was a kid.
Back when I was a kid, when you could hug a stranger when you met him.
Right.
Yeah, you could. We were watching it, and the whole time during this, I was like, man, I wonder, like, the relationship between Sony and Disney and all this stuff. Like, is this canon? Is this not canon? Are they going to take this out of here? Like, is who's going to be the actor to take it forward, like all this stuff. But if you just take it as it is, it's really a good introduction, or even a continuation into the whole multidimensional theory. And then when you look at Mysterio, even though Mysterio is essentially a snake oil salesman, he is bringing into the awareness in the what do you call the primary timeline, the primary Marvel universe. He's bringing into it the awareness that there are multiple dimensions. Then Captain America, also, he went to return the stones, and he's bringing them to places in time which may or may not tie back into this area. So Wanda, there's supposed to be the new Spider-Man series is supposed to have Doctor Strange in it, and the unnamed Spider-Man 3, does it have a name yet, or is it still unnamed?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's still unnamed. So there's an unnamed Spider-Man 3 coming up, which has got a whole bunch, which has got like all the Spider-Man actors are essentially signed up for it at this point, I believe. And then Doctor Strange has got, if you IMDb it or whatever, it's got Wanda's supposed to be in it.
Okay.
So you've got another multi... the name of that one's been released, and it's Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So I think it all plays into the rescue mission. If she's not rescuing him right now, she's aware that she can rescue him by the end of this thing.
Okay.
And she's going to find the Mind Stone because he's in the Mind Stone.
Okay, let me I want to get a little further before I throw you my third crazy conspiracy, because this is where I'm going to disagree with you on a few things. Okay. Perfect. So we start to learn about things about this barrier, and we see how S.W.O.R.D. is interacting and trying to go and infiltrate at this point. You see where the guy with the hazmat suit's being lowered underground, and then he passes the barrier, and as he passes the barrier, he becomes not hazmat suit guy, but beekeeper guy, and we realize he's a S.W.O.R.D. agent somehow trying to go and infiltrate and find out information as he crosses underneath this barrier. So this barrier's got an effect where somehow it alters thoughts and reality and memory of people. So that very well could be a Wanda situation.
Did you catch the jump rope being pulled out?
I did catch
it. So the illusion is actually real once it comes out of that place. If something happens in there, it changes it in the real world.
And that could very well be a Wanda situation. This is the first time that we see the actual image of a dead Vision and Mr. Gray Purple Scale Vision, which actually is rather frightening and surprising if you're not expecting it. As soon as you see
disturbing.
That face, yeah, you were disturbing, like, whoa, what is that? You know, so
very dark,
exactly. Wanda has a reference of, I have everything under control. And Monica comes out after we see how that played out, where she essentially blasted Monica out. And she says, it's all Wanda. It's all Wanda. Leading you to think, okay, this is somehow a created thought by Wanda. Okay? And everyone's caught up in this Wanda vision as you spoke it. Right? And we cut back in. We see Jimi Hendrix playing Voodoo Child. We hear the music and the very famous guitar riff. And, well, what do we want to watch tonight? Vision has a very defined, concerned, nervous look on his face at this point that he is along for the ride, but he's not going along for the ride. He's, like, scared at this point. But he's going to play it off as though he can handle this situation. And there's definitely a concerned look at multiple times during the end of this episode.
Because he's his own person.
Maybe. Okay. He's concerned throughout this. Here's why I don't feel this is a Wanda construct anymore, and I haven't read the comic books. Because they couldn't possibly place, for these tiny commercials, a commercial that has Strucker, who is a Hydra agent, using Hydra soak as the commercial. And let us not forget that Stark Industries, prior to Tony Stark's time, was not necessarily a benevolent organization. It was a weapons of mass destruction organization. So let's just for a second leave the fact that we think of Tony Stark as a good guy. We have three villainous organizations placing ads somehow in here, which makes me think that ever from the first moment you met Wanda, where she was being mentally manipulated for either side, either through Ultron's good or through the Avengers, she was being manipulated. She's being controlled. And in fact, I think she's being controlled and mentally manipulated from Hydra at this point. And I think they're manipulating her. And the reason why you're going to see her is you are going to see her. You're going to see one of the baddest villains you've ever seen come around here in a second. And they will manipulate her as they've always been able to, as a sleeper agent, a dark sleeper agent for a long time, which she's always been done. She's been manipulated by every side. She's been manipulated by Hawkeye. She's been manipulated by Strucker. She's been manipulated her entire life. But maybe it's from the guilt, the mourning, the shock, but they're going to tap into it. Almost like Baron Zemo would read those 15 Russian words to Bucky and change Bucky from guy to indestructible and unstoppable killing force. So that's my third conspiracy in the issue. Anything, Scott?
Without sounding completely silly, that actually gave me goosebumps when you said it. I sat there and went, holy crap, that makes sense.
Okay. Well, it won't be true. It'll be a rescue mission, and Murray will be texting me the next morning and be like, I got you, Malik. I got you.
I think it could be a hybrid of the two.
Okay.
I think the Mind Stone could be in play somehow, because honestly, does Wanda's powerful, and she grabbed Thanos and she was going to split him apart and pull his arms off, and then he had to rain fire and to disrupt her, basically pulling his arms off like a fly. But has she really got the juice to run an entire town controlling every single person in it on her own without extra sauce? I don't think so. But I tell you what could do that. An Infinity Stone.
It's possible. We could also learn about S.W.O.R.D. not being such a magnanimous organization. You know, and I don't know anything about it. I haven't read the comics. I plead the fifth here. I plead complete ignorance in the matter, you know, at this point. But I don't know. What do we know?
I've read the comics. You think that we're complete idiots right now.
Well, yeah. Somebody out there is thinking we're morons. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's people, they're like, these guys aren't even close. How do they not know?
If you have read the comics, feel free, direct it towards me. We'll have a really nice intellectual DM message string back and forth, I promise you guys. So, Preston.
Well, you got to remember the comic bios versus the movie bios on these things are quite a bit different. Honestly, if you are a comic fan, or if you like the old cartoons that used to take place, how underpowered Vision is throughout the entire movie franchise is so terrible. If you've watched Vision, the first appearance of Vision, he pretty much dismantles the entire Avengers team without much of breaking a sweat. Vision is a BA. Mm-hmm. Vision is, he's made of unobtainium. He's made of one of the strongest things in the entire world, and his whole body is made of it. And he's got an Infinity Stone in his head. He didn't just get touched by the radiation like Captain Marvel did. Captain Marvel is arguably as strong as Superman, and all that happened to her is she got touched by the radiation and she got some Kree blood to help revive her. That's literally, but she's as strong as Superman. Vision is made of the strongest substance in the universe and has an Infinity Stone in his head. And he goes down like a chump all throughout this.
Well,
so you can't confuse, I'm just saying, you can't confuse the Marvel comic books with the Marvel movies, because you'll lose every time.
You know, and you're correct, because Ultron only makes one appearance and he loses in the movie he's first originally found in. And Ultra's a heavy, heavy, heavy hitter in the comics, and he literally is in one movie. And he's kind of embarrassing at that, because he loses, essentially by picking up a city and dropping it back down is his ultimate device. His ultimate weapon is simply dropping the city. Anyways, anybody else for a conspiracy or a thought before we bring this to a close? Because I think we've talked as long as 4 episodes here today, but we could probably talk for longer. So anybody else? Preston, any thoughts you want to give to this besides the ends of these and the hexagon shape and the amazing finishes? And are you guys like me? Are we literally watching to the end of every credit, just waiting for that one time you get a scene, even though they haven't shown a scene yet?
Because I've done it.
Not only do I watch the end of every credit in this show, now I can't watch any show without, if it's a movie now, we're like watching cartoons now, and we're like, wait a minute, is there a post-credit scene to this cartoon? Like, it's just gotten... It's gotten in my head.
Downton Abbey. Wait a minute. We ain't leaving anywhere. You never know. You never know. So go ahead, Preston.
There is one conversation that happens at the very end of episode 4 between Wanda and Vision that I don't think we've touched on yet.
Okay.
When Vision says, you know, we can go anywhere we want. And then Wanda, almost with like, she has like tears in her eyes, says, no, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
Now that could kind of play into both Chris and Jeremy's theory, where for Chris, it could be that she's emotional like that because she is being like trapped, like she's being manipulated and she knows it, but she can't get out of it. Or it could be that she just knows that if she leaves somehow, she's going to fully lose Vision through that.
Great point. I never thought of it that way. That's a great point. I remember the line, and I paid attention to it, but it was like it didn't register, but that's a great point. Absolutely. That was right before she said, well, what do you want to watch tonight? And went on with a very casual statement. So, good point. Scott, anything else that you'd like to observe and make a statement here for the first 4 episodes?
Oh, man. What else can you possibly add to this?
Besides, I'm amazed at Elizabeth Olsen's acting at this point, right? I have a whole new respect for that woman at this point. She could play a 50s sitcom mom. She could play a 70s sitcom mom, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything else right now. It's just this episode was all culminating for me. I sat there. The first two, I kind of fought through. The third one, when Rambo or, you know, Geraldine gets kicked out and she's laying on the grass and you see like the military vehicles pull up, you're like, oh, this is real. This is right now time, and this is now getting interesting. And then as soon as episode 4 started, I was hooked, and the introduction of all the different characters that, you know, you've seen in the MCU. I mean, I was like, on my Facebook post, I was just like, you know, whoever sees this, I said, you know, this is amazing. Holy.
Yeah.
I don't curse on Facebook, but I actually wrote, holy yes.
We got Scott swearing on Facebook after watching the episode. I just want you to know that, people. We got Scott cussing.
I was pumped at this. I'm like, I want the next one to drop right now. I'm 100% vested now. I'm in.
Exactly. Jeremy, any more on your theory or anything else you want to say?
I think it was not necessarily – I think the most important questions for me right now, what I'm watching going forward is this I still haven't completely decided if Wanda – I know Wanda's dangerous in the scenario, but is she also trapped in the scenario? Is this a zoo with kept animals, or is this a shell of her psychosis? Is this all a Wanda vision? I'm leaning towards it's a Wanda vision, but it could be that it's a zoo. Or at least a maze, maybe, that's got to do with the Mind Stone.
Okay.
I want to add one more thing off of Jeremy's, if you don't mind, because I totally forgot about this before. It's similar. It's right on top of what Jeremy was saying. Is I'm going, you know, in the third episode, you know, Herb and what is Ralph's wife?
Agnes.
Agnes, you know, they're talking, and they're talking to Vision, and they're explaining that Geraldine doesn't belong there. Something's weird. She you know, she's not married. She doesn't have a home. It's like, she's not here. And I'm going, who knows what? Like, are they breaking character? Are they trying to give him hints? Are they realizing stuff on their own? Are they, like, I'm trying to figure out, are they acting this whole thing? Or are they somehow, like, becoming more understanding of what's going on and putting together that this isn't right? Something is off here. So that's my main thing, is I want to know if they're into it.
It's consistent with her powers too, though, Scott. If you watch through the Marvel Universe, the first couple movies, by the time that it ends, she's picking up Thanos and slamming him off walls, and when she comes out, she's an Avenger, so she's blowing up Ultron clones. During the first couple of movies, she's just tinkling around in people's brains. She's the mystic. She's the mind messer. She's using the Mind Stone to manipulate minds. So this may be like the playback to her original things, where people kind of snap out of it and kind of go back in. But I want to also, so my first question is it a vision, or is it a zoo? And my second question is Vision his own person? So if I see more examples of Vision essentially breaking from Wanda or having his own his own scenes, it's going to be make me think more and more that Vision is his own independent character, which means in some form, he is alive.
Okay. Any thought about having all these characters named on a board and having them all be referred to as S.W.O.R.D. agents at this point? I know we didn't touch on that, but that's a very relevant point in episode 4. Having all these characters be revealed by Agent Wu and by Darcy and put on a board. X character is being cast as Bam. X character is being cast as Bam. And having all these agents with, I would assume being a S.W.O.R.D. agent, because it's got a S.W.O.R.D. profile on it. I guess it couldn't be. I guess they could be just regular people, but you wouldn't have the word S.W.O.R.D. above their name on that poster board. Any thought to that or no?
I think it makes sense because he went there. He went there looking for someone who was in a witness protection scenario.
Hmm.
He went there looking for someone who was hiding, possibly being protected for a witness thing. So it's entirely possible that there were, if you go into a big witness protection, witness relocation program, there might be embedded agents around for protection and whatnot.
Okay.
And so if that's the place that she took over, there would already be, she might have already taken over a town that was essentially a base in plain sight.
Gotcha. Any thought to that, Preston, at all, buddy?
I just kind of had a thought about, like, if I was in a situation before the snap where I was, like, in danger of a really bad group of people, like Hydra or some other organization, and all of a sudden that snap happens and a whole bunch of those people disappear, I think I would get kind of comfortable living a new life. But then as soon as that blip would happen and they come back, it would make sense that you'd go to an organization like S.W.O.R.D. to get protected, because all of a sudden people that you haven't seen for 5 years are after you again.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a valid point. Absolutely. Okay, so if you're listening this far, and we've taken up an hour and a half of your day, we hope we've entertained you on your commute to and from work, and you've got a theory we haven't mentioned yet, shoot us a response here. Contact us in EDCOT. We're all in EDCOT, EDCOT. Scott Ferry always on Facebook. Jeremy Murray, Preston, we're all on Facebook. You can reach out to us. But if you grab this all, that's the easiest place. Scott, I saw you had a couple posts on there. Should people find you easiest just at Scott Ferrioli or Buy and Sell DVC, or where do you want to have people reach you best, buddy?
Scott Ferrioli is perfectly fine. That's probably the best way to reach me.
As I understand it, too, you have friends with lots of people. We have an ongoing joke about this. So Scott has tons of Facebook friends. So just send him a friendship request and you're good. And you can talk Marvel all day long. Jeremy and Preston, I know you guys are most often found at EDCOT. Jeremy, you also are found in any other place on Facebook?
That's such a lead-in plug.
I did. I threw it to you.
As a side thing, just get to know me through EDCOT first. As a side thing, I do a charity where I help locals in my community get grants while they're going through cancer treatments. But there's no way I want to just huckster somebody into being my friend so I could get them to go to my charity. So meet me at EDCOT first. Be nice, kind of. You know,
schmooze him.
Don't spook me now. I'm too nervous already as it is. As you can see, I got a conspiracy theory mindset. So just ease into it. If you want to know about my charity stuff, I'll tell you. But
gotcha.
Meet me in EDCOT.
There you go. Preston, anything for you, buddy, besides that? I know your mom and your dad, who are about the greatest people around, and I love them like family, are there as well, too. You and your brother are there, so...
But don't let them hear that. That might get too big a head.
No, they know that. They know that. Your dad and me are good buddies. So if people had a question for you, though, and wanted to learn more about what you picked up on Google, Facebook, the best way to get a hold of you, buddy? Is that the best
spot?
Yeah. Okay.
Facebook or Messenger app.
Not a problem. So, all right. So if you've listened this long, we appreciate it. And share us your thoughts. You can find us on Facebook. You heard that. So for my buddies Preston, Scott, and Jeremy, I'd like to thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Enjoy.
Bye, everybody.